Good morning, Bridgeway. I'm so happy to be here this morning. Is anybody else just so happy to be in the house of the Lord? Welcome, welcome, welcome. If you're watching online, welcome to Bridgeway. We're so glad that you're with us this morning. Guess what? Today is June 25th. And you know what that means? 6 months till Christmas! Joy to the world. Come on. The Lord is come. Sing it with me. Let earth. Come on. You know the words. Come on. Let every heart prepare him room. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and nature sing. And heaven and heaven and nature sing. Yay! Joy to the world. This is your mid-year joy checkup. That's what we're going to do this morning. And I cannot talk about joy without talking about my best friend. Can I tell you about him? He's relentlessly committed to me. He won't leave me, not even for a second. He came with me this morning. Do you have anybody like that in your life that's so committed to you that even when you are the worst version of yourself, he refuses to stop loving you? He just keeps believing you. He just keeps loving you. We all need a friend like that, don't we? I hope you don't mind if I talk about my best friend this morning. I'm going to talk about him a lot because he is the source of my joy. He is the source of every good gift in my life. He is my Lord, my God, my Savior, my hope, my never-ending peace, my reason for living. He is my purpose, my life and my breath. He's the deepest longing of my heart. He's everything to me. His name is Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. God with us. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He's holding us together right now, whether you know it or not, okay? He's holding you together. He's our strong tower, our safe place, our redeemer, our rescuer, our creator, our closest ally, our greatest advocate. He's our refuge and our strength. He's an ever-present help in times of trouble. He is wonderful counselor, mighty God, everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. There's no one like him. There's no one above him. There's no one who understands you better. There's no one that loves you more. And if you are looking for friends in high places, you cannot get any higher than him. All power and authority in heaven and on earth are his. And guess what? He conquered sin and death, our two greatest enemies, two things that will snuff out the life of every person on this planet. Jesus handled them for us. He's our hero. I cannot talk about joy without talking about Jesus. Got to talk about him. And listen, when you put him in the center of your life and you make a real decision, I mean a real decision, to trust him with your life, to live for him, guess what happens? You get your best life for real. Because now your story is aligned with the one who made you, with the one who created you. Your story in his hands is a good story. When you decide to be all in with Jesus, then you discover he's always been all in with you. Always. And all that Jesus has to offer us, the fruits of his Holy Spirit, they dwell inside of us. The beautiful attributes of who our God is, his character, they're given to us through relationship with Jesus, by his Holy Spirit dwelling in us. The fruits of the Spirit are in us. The Apostle Paul writes about this in Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to pull it up in the screen. We're going to start at verse 22, and I'd love for you to read this with me, okay? Verse 22, the fruit of the Spirit is love, say it with me, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things, there is no law. So let me ask you, how many of those fruits do we get when we come into a relationship with Jesus? How many? Come on, you guys. You're with me this morning. Yes, all of them, all nine of them. God wants to be the center of your story, so much so that he gave us himself, the very power of God through his Spirit dwelling in us to help us to be love in this world. You never were meant to have to figure it out all by yourself. You were never meant to be tossed around to and fro by your circumstances. He gave us his Spirit. You were made for love. You were made to be transformed into the image of his Son, Jesus, who is love. And he will work through everything to make that happen. Somebody say everything. Everything. Yeah. God created you with a purpose, with great intention and attention, every detail about you. You are part of a much bigger story than you can see right now. And spoiler alert, it's a love story, a happily ever after love story. Anybody else love those like me? Oh my gosh, the Hallmark Channel? Yes, please. Yes, please. At Christmas time, I cannot get enough. Christmas with a prince, you know, the Christmas castle, a boyfriend for Christmas, a puppy for Christmas, falling for Christmas. Just give it to me. I want all of it. I want the happy ending. You know why? Because I was made for it. And so were you. We were made for battles and happy endings. A good story's got ups and downs and plot twists and villains and battles and lessons and so much love along the way. A good story is always about transformation, always. People getting better, people learning and growing and getting healed and getting free, right? I want that happy ending. I want it for you. You were made for it too. So let me ask you, do you like the chapter of your story that you're in right now? I'm on chapter 59, and I'm so grateful. Yeah, amen, hallelujah, thank you, God. I'm so grateful to be alive. I'm so grateful that I'm here, and I've seen God work so many miracles in my life, and he's still working, and he's not done with me, and I'm grateful for that, too. How about you? See, the way that stories work is, depending upon the chapter that you're in the story, you might not think it's a happy story with a good ending coming. You might not believe it's going anywhere. You might not know that there are really good things coming for the main character, you. Because the story isn't over yet. The story isn't over yet. They're gonna put up on the screen a picture. That's me. That's little Tracy. The picture was taken on November 19th, 1966. I was 2 and a half. I was adorable, clearly. Keep that up for a minute, okay? How do you feel when you look at old pictures of yourself? I look at that girl, and I have such compassion for her, you know? She didn't know what was coming. She didn't know all the stuff. She didn't know how her family was going to implode with multiple divorces, abuse, trauma. She didn't know that it wasn't her fault. She didn't know how to love herself. She was really hard on herself. She didn't know that she was going to struggle the way that she did all the way through her teen years and into adulthood. She didn't know that she'd be spending so much of life looking for love in all the wrong places. Anybody else know what that's like? This girl had some chapters in her story that she nearly didn't survive, but God was still working. Tracy's best friend wouldn't leave. The story wasn't over. Can I tell somebody this morning, because I know you need to hear it, your story isn't over. Your story isn't over. God knows where you are in it right now. He knows it's been hard. He knows what hurts you've endured. He knows. But he has not checked out. He's working. Now, I promised that we were going to do a mid-year joy checkup this morning, because joy is not a seasonal fruit. It is an all year round, in every season possibility, and it's not as elusive as it feels. So you were given a balloon this morning in the house. Everybody pull out your balloon and hold it up, okay? Hold it up. Now, if you're watching at home and you don't have a balloon handy, because not everybody has drawers of balloons like we do, you could also use two glasses, one filled with water and one empty one, and the illustration will work that way, or just watch how we do with our balloons, all right? So everyone hold up your balloon. Let me see. Everybody got one that wants one? Okay, good. Now, don't tie it off. I want you to blow it up. All right, blow it up. Don't pop it, and don't tie it off. Just hold on to it, okay? I'm going to do that too. Thank you, Lord, for breath, right? As you blow up your balloon, I want you to imagine that it contains joy. Joy, which is a fruit of God's Spirit. Now, Oxford Dictionary says that joy is a feeling of great happiness or delight. It's that. But it's so much more than that. Joyce Meyer says that joy is a deep internal confidence, that God has everything under control. I love that definition. That's a good one. But I had to come up with my own. It's a little wordy, but I really like it. This is my definition. Joy is the feeling of delight in a now moment, the anticipation of good in a future moment, and the constant state of being and foundation I stand on in every moment, because my very being has been irreversibly wrapped in Christ. Yeah, right? That's joy. That's joy. Now look at your balloon and think about all of your joy in that little balloon. Now I want you to think about the chapter of life that you're in right now and ask the question of yourself, what has been stealing my joy? If God has given me a spirit and joy is one of the fruits that should be in my life, where is it? I made a list of joy stealers. I'm going to rattle them off. And when you hear one of these joy stealers that resonates with you, that you're like, yep, that's been sucking the joy out of my life, that right there, I want you to let a little air out of your balloon. All right, you ready for this? Are you ready for this? All right, here we go. Comparison. I mean, I'm just being honest. Anybody feel great about your life until you look at Facebook or InstaSuck and you find out, wow, everybody's life is better. Everybody's more beautiful. Everybody has better kids. Everybody's got cuter pets. Everybody's more rich. Very close related to that one, we've got envy. Anybody? Jealousy. Discontentment. Don't you be shy. No shame here. Unforgiveness. There it is. Loss. Grief. Change. Physical suffering. Busyness. Hurriness. Exhaustion. Isolation. Disconnection. Worry. Fear. Anxiety. Greed, drug or alcohol abuse, people grumbling and complaining, other people, traffic on I-95, politics, pandemics. Woo, anybody got any air left? Woo, hold up your balloon now. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. We got a lot of flimsy balloons in this place. Listen, there are many hard things that we are dealing with out there in the world. How do we keep them filled back up with joy? How do we keep our joy? How do we live this life for Jesus and keep growing our joy? How do you get through this part of your story when it's a hard chapter that you're in? How do you get through it? There are some things about joy that I want you to know this morning. And as the 70s band Boston once said, it's more than a feeling. Some of you get that. All the white people got that one. Okay. All right. I'm just messing with you. All right. Here's four things I want you to know about joy. Number one, joy is the surest indicator of the presence of God. Joy is always connected to a right relationship with God. Joy is not optional for a follower of Jesus. And joy shapes my perspective on everything. So let me unpack those for you. The first one. All right. Joy is the surest indicator of the presence of God. Did you know that? When the angel of the Lord announced the birth of Jesus to the shepherds and said in Luke 2, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news that will cause great joy for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah, the Lord." In Matthew chapter 2, the wise men were told about the king that was born, and the scriptures say that they were overwhelmed with joy. Mary, Elizabeth, the shepherds, the angels, Simeon, Anna, all of them overjoyed at the birth of Jesus. Even John the Baptist in his mother's womb was overjoyed at the presence of Jesus. Look at this in Luke 1, verses 43 and 44. This is Elizabeth, who's pregnant with John the Baptist. She is in the presence of Mary, who is pregnant with Jesus. And this is what Elizabeth says: "Why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy." Joy is the surest indicator of the presence of God. And our God is the most joyful being in the universe. Jesus is the most joyful person that ever lived. Good news, he's given us his joy. All right, so that's number one. Number two, joy is always connected to a right relationship with God. That means thinking about who he is the right way. If you've got a wrong view of what God is like, it's going to jack up your joy, right? A.W. Tozer said the way that we think about God is the most important thing about us. So what is your view of God? What do you think that he's like? You know, way back in the Garden of Eden, Satan got into Eve's head about her view of God, and he got her to question what God said and his motives towards her, and he planted this idea in her mind that God was withholding good things from her. And you know what happened after that, right? If we believe that God is actually withholding good things from us, we're basically saying, God, you're not good. You're not trustworthy. I can't surrender my life to you because you're going to let me down. I've got to figure it all out. I've got to manage it. I've got to secure my place and what I want out of life because you're not coming through for me. Listen, if you feel like that this morning, I just want to encourage you to get to know what he's really like, because you're wrong. You're wrong. Joy is always connected to a right relationship with God, and he wants you to know him, and he wants to love you. If you don't believe that God is who he says he is, it will directly affect your joy, because you'll see everything that happens in this world as either a punishment or pointless, right? And then you'll have a justifiable reason to be sad and anxious and miserable. Joy is connected to a right relationship with God. Here's number three. Joy is not optional for a follower of Jesus. It's not optional. It's part of the deal. Joy is a defining characteristic of who God is, and it's his joy that he deposits in us. It's not my own joy that I had to somehow come up with and manufacture on my own. It's Jesus' joy that I have in me. And his joy is constant and strong, and it doesn't go up and down because of my circumstances. I might not always feel happy, but I can always have joy. In John 15, verses 10 and 11, Jesus said this. He said, "If you keep my commands, you'll remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. I've told you this so that," say it with me, "my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete." Isn't this the best news? The source of our joy, this thing that we want, that we need, that we have, the source is Jesus. He's the supplier. We are the recipient. And all I have to do is stay connected to him, and his joy will flow through me in every season. I mean, this was a real relief when I learned this, because I don't know about you, but I am tired of just having to figure everything out on my own. I don't need one more thing to have to produce and work for. Anybody? Like, is my whole relationship with God and all the things he gives me all up to me? I got to work harder. I got to grow those fruits, grow those fruits, grow those fruits. No. Joy isn't something that you have to earn. It's something to receive. It's something to nourish as we allow Jesus to live through us. So joy is not optional for a follower of Jesus. Here's the last one. Joy shapes my perspective on everything. Everything. Because I'm loved by God, because I know that he's working all things out for my good, that gives me joy. So while we may be in a part of our stories right now that doesn't feel so good, we can still have joy because of what God is accomplishing in this part of my story. Some of you, man, you got your PhD in perseverance because of what God is accomplishing in your story right now, right? James chapter 1, verses 2 through 5. Consider it, say it with me, pure joy, right? My brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who generously gives to all without finding fault, and it will be given to you. Man, that's an anchor verse for me. Anchor verse. Because when things get hard, and they will, when we go through trials and suffering, and we will, we may feel like our joy's been taken away, but it hasn't. God is working. He's producing in you perseverance. He's drawing you closer, inviting you to trust him more and more. Because when you trust him more, guess what happens? Your joy gets stronger. Joy and trust, they're connected. You might still have questions in that hard place that you're in, that hard season. Joy doesn't answer questions. It overrules them. Remember, joy isn't just feeling good in the present moment, because sometimes the present moment sucks. It's also about what God is working out in us. A question to ask him, Lord, what is your intention? Show me what you're working out in my life right now. It's about anticipating good in future moments, because that good that he's working out is a done deal. It's a sure thing because of Jesus, and he does not leave unfinished his good work in us. Amen. I got a friend going through chemo right now, and she suffered a lot. But I got to tell you, you'd never know it to look at her. Her radiant joy, it's all over her. She's so focused on Jesus, and the promises of God are holding her up. I'm just in awe. I'm in awe of his joy in her. And her joy is gritty, you know? It's strong, it's steadfast. It would be easy to think, if you just kind of walked into her story at this particular chapter, it would be easy to think, oh, that's not a good story. That's a really, really sad story. But the story isn't over. She's in a hard chapter, a sad chapter, but this is not where she will stay. Her future is secure. How about yours? How about yours? Listen, for all of the empty balloons that we have, hold them up again. Let me see. Ooh, don't put them away. There they are. I've got good news for all of us. We can fill this thing back up. Remember, God didn't take our joy away. We just need to think about some things differently. We need a shift of perspective. And to think differently, we may need to act differently. I'm going to give you 5 tangible things to think about and do to fill up that balloon this morning. These things have helped me. I've tested them out. Stumbled into them is probably more like it. But they really helped me, and I hope that they can help you too, wherever you are in the story of your life. And if you're just not feeling the joy right now, hang in there. Hang in there, okay? Number one, let go of your plan and follow the Spirit. Amen. You want to say it again? Let go of your plan and follow the Spirit. Do we have any planners in here? We love to plan. Oh, man. I got a day timer. I got a book for everything, right? It's all written out. The rest of my life, it's all planned out. How's that working out for you? So last year, Gary and I, we went to St. Michael's on the Eastern Shore, one of our favorite little Eastern Shore towns, and we had this really fun weekend planned, and it started with kayaking on the Miles River, and when we were done, Gary's loading the kayaks back up on our car, and this lovely elderly lady comes over to us, and she starts chatting with us. Where are you from? How long are you going to be here? Where did you go kayaking? What do you guys do? She's just like bombarding us with all of these questions. She was delightful, and we absolutely fell in love with her. She said, stop by my house later, and we'll get to know one another. Like, what? Okay. So we go back in our hotel room, and we Google her. Because that's what you do when you meet a formidable woman in her, obviously, later years. Her name is Mary Lou McAllister, and we found all kinds of things about her. She's all over the internet. She is a force for good on this earth. This woman spearheaded an initiative to have a community public pool built for the children in the community so that they were safe, they could swim in a safe place. She spearheaded an after-school tutoring program for under-resourced kids. This woman is a firecracker. I'm like, man, we just met the unofficial mayor of St. Michael's. We were so psyched. 94 years old. 94 and full of life and giving total strangers her address. I know. I'm like, thank God we're in ministry, right? Thank God. So we stop by her house later. We knock on the door. She comes to the door in her nightgown. She says, I'm going to bed. I'm ready for bed. Come back tomorrow at 5 and we'll have drinks. You can bet we were going to be doing that. You can bet. So the next morning, we had an agenda for the day. We made plans to take our bikes on the... We're good. Okay. We've got pictures that are going to be coming up, and I'm trying to make sure that I'm coordinating them with the pictures. So the next morning, we made plans to get on the Oxford Bellevue Ferry. You can bring your bikes right on the ferry, and it'll go from St. Michael's, Maryland, over to Oxford, Maryland. And we can put up the picture of me on the ferry right there. It was so fun. It was a beautiful day. Gary and I love to ride bikes, so we brought our bikes up on the ferry. We went over. It was like a 15-minute ride. Is that about right? And we got there in Oxford. We rode our bikes all over the little town. We had a delightful lunch. It was this perfect day until it was time to go back to the ferry. We come back to the ferry, and there's a chain across the ramp that says, ferry closed. Engine problems. How are we going to get across the river? What do you mean the ferry's closed? The one time we are like, let's take the ferry. The ferry's closed. This is why we don't take ferries. So I'm starting to unravel and pray simultaneously, because we do those things simultaneously. And Gary, God bless him, he's praying with me, and he's also a man of action. And he goes over and he sees the yacht club is like right next to where the ferry boat ramp is. So he goes over there and he introduces himself to some guy named Jay, and he tells Jay about our predicament. And Jay says, well, got a couple of options. You could do like a 30-mile bike ride back to St. Michael's. No, we were not ready for that, and we would have missed our date with our new friend, Mary Lou, at 5 o'clock, right? Jay goes, why don't you just take the keys to my car? Why? You know what? Just take my Subaru, and you guys can drive over to St. Michael's, get your car, and then bring both cars back, and then get your bikes, and then you'll be on your way. You just met us. You're giving us the keys to your car. I do not understand this little town, but I love it. I love it. What is going on here? And so we're just about to take Jay up on his offer when Jay goes, wait a minute, I got a better idea. And he takes Gary and I up the pier and introduces us to another friend of his. And next picture up there, this guy's name is GK. GK's got a boat. GK says, I'll take you over in my boat. You can put your bikes right on my boat and I'll take you over. Who are these people? What is going on right now? It occurred to us that God is gloriously disrupting our plans. Listen, friends, sometimes you gotta let go of your plans and let God give you something better. You know what I mean? He wouldn't even take money, this guy. He's just like, you know, just takes us across the river. So, of course, you know, we get over in time. Everything worked out great. And we were just kind of blown away. Like, God, what are you doing? What is happening right now? We needed to just loosen our grip and see where God was going to be taking us. Well, the weekend ended in a way that we did not expect. I was expecting that I was going to be laying by the pool. But once again, God had other plans. You can put the next picture up. That's Mary Lou. Mary Lou and me and Gary, guess what we ended up doing to wrap up our weekend? We went to church with Mary Lou. Isn't he good? Guys, let go of your plan and follow the Spirit, because his plan is even better. Amen. All right, here's number two. Cheer other people on. A sure way to get your joy back. Who are the people around me that could use a little encouragement? This world is full of people that don't have anybody in their corner. And you can be a people of God. This is what we were made for. You can be the one to show up for the graduate, you know, for that athlete in your family, for someone who's got a concert or a recital or a play, birthday parties, baby showers, anniversaries. These things matter. These things matter. And when you show up to cheer people on and root them on, guess what happens? They get encouraged and you get joy. It's reciprocal. It's amazing how God designed us this way. Now, last week, Pastor Gary shared his story of being a very excellent athlete. He still is, by the way. And he was an amazing college tennis player. He shared that story if you were here. You remember he shared that his family, unfortunately, did not support him. His family system was broken. His dad never came to one tennis match, not one. He went to nationals as a, were you 19, 20 years old? Yeah, and by himself, without anybody there to root him on. It hurts my heart, you know? We can be that person to step into that place for somebody. Last year, Gary had an amazing opportunity. He's still playing tennis at a high level, and his team for men 55 and over, it's okay that I said that right, hon? They went to nationals, you guys. Their team made it to nationals. Yeah. Over 800 teams across the country descended on this complex in Florida. This was a big deal. I was so excited to be there. You can bet I went. And I was cheering my man on, and it was so fun. And they had live streaming of the matches. And so not only was I there in person cheering him on, but we had our kids were watching him, and they were sending text messages, go, Dad, go. We had our friends, a lot of our Bridgeway family knew about it, and you guys were watching and sending text messages. He felt so supported and so loved. And when we went back to our hotel room after that last match, he said to me with tears in his eyes, thank you for being here. It healed me. We get to be a part of that and other people's stories. You want to get your joy back? Focus on other people. Cheer other people on. It heals them and it heals you. You got the picture of the tennis team up there, right? You saw that. Okay, good. All right. Number three, remember to have fun. Did you know that fun is very much an underrated spiritual discipline? And it's something that all of us could use a little bit more of. I mean, who's just tired of adulting right now? Come on, everybody. It's so hard. There's so much to do, and we're checking off boxes, and we're so responsible. We need some fun up in here. And I believe that God is about it. It says in Proverbs 17:22, a cheerful heart is good medicine, right? We need to have some fun. And not only for us, but looking for ways to make other people smile. How many of you were wondering, what is the deal with her shoes this morning? What is the deal with her shoes? If you need to see them. Well, guess what? I have a pair just like them at home. Did they make you smile? Mission accomplished. Thank you very much. So remember to have fun. Remember to have fun. Last Halloween was a dreary, bleary, miserable evening. And we live in a 55 and over community. We didn't get any trick-or-treaters. I bought all this candy. What are we going to do with all this candy? I don't want to eat all this candy. What are we going to do? We had an idea. Let's create a new holiday. Reverse Halloween. And so we dressed up in Halloween costumes. You can put the picture up. And we went around our neighborhood to every house that we could get to. We've got like 69 houses in our neighborhood. I think we might have made it to half of them. But we would knock on the door. They would come to the door very confused. Tracy, Gary, I don't have any candy. We're like, oh no, we don't want you to give us candy. We want to give you candy. Happy reverse Halloween. It's not trick or treat, it's pick a treat. And so we had our bag of candy, and they reached in and they pulled out the Reese's cups, and I said, pick something else. We had so much fun, you guys. We had no idea how much joy we just stumbled into, because we were looking for a way to make the people in our community smile. Guess what? It ended up being a way for us to bond. People invited us into their homes. We got to hear some people's stories. It was precious. Fun is not a trivial extracurricular thing. It's something that we need. Remember to have fun. Look for ways to make other people smile. That's number three. Number four, you hanging with me? You doing all right? I got a hair in my mouth. That's no fun. All right. Woohoo! All right. Number four. Find your good works. Emphasis on the word your good works. Ephesians 2:10 says this about us. We are God's workmanship, his masterpiece, his poema, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that he prepared in advance for us to do. Did you know that there are good works out there with your name on it? Like, you were the one that God designated. Oh, yeah, I want Stanley to do that. Isn't that amazing? Good works with your name on it. Find your good works. We've got some friends that are missionaries in Mexico. Really a daughter of the church, our COO, Frank Eastham, his daughter, Sarah, and her husband, Oso, missionaries in Cancun, Mexico. And they shared with us that their young worship leader there, Hosa is his name, had his guitar stolen, and he didn't have the resources to get a new one. And so my friend Sarah and Oso reached out and asked, could you guys help? Is there anyone that could help us maybe get a new guitar for Hosa? And so Gary and I prayed about it, and we decided, you know what, our wedding anniversary is coming up. We'll make it our anniversary gift to each other to get a guitar for Hosa. So I'm making a plan to find a good used guitar for Hosa. So that's a Tuesday. The next day, Wednesday, I have an appointment in Westminster. And I go out to my appointment. I drive an hour out. And before I run in to my appointment, I'm sitting in my car, and I post on Facebook. And I randomly post, it's sleeting in Westminster. I normally don't post things like that, but it was kind of unusual to have this winter weather so early in the season. And then right after I posted that, I posted again, and I shared the story of my friends who were missionaries in Mexico and how their worship leader's guitar got stolen. Does anybody have a good lead on a good used guitar that we can get for him? Private message me. Post. Go into my appointment. An hour later, I come out of my appointment, and there on my phone is a private message from a guy named Rod. You can put up the picture of Rod and Sherry. Meet Rod and Sherry. Now, Rod says, he's one of our listeners at the radio station that I work for. He's also one of my Facebook friends. I've never met him in person. He sends me a message. He says, Tracy, are you still in Westminster? Because I've got a guitar if you just want to come pick it up. Like, wait a minute, what? It turns out the guitar, it belonged to his dad. His dad passed away 2 years ago. Rod's been holding on to it because his dad wanted it to go to someone that would use it to worship the Lord. When Rod heard my story, he was like, this is definitely supposed to be Hosa's guitar. And so I drove less than 10 minutes from where I was out to Rod's house in Westminster. I met Rod and his lovely wife, Sherry, and they presented this beautiful guitar to me, complete with the case and the strap. And then the next day, I gave the guitar to my friend Frank Eastham, our COO. And the next day after that, Frank was on a plane because he was going to visit his daughter, Sarah, in Mexico, and presented the guitar to Hosa. So there he is explaining how God worked this all out. And then show the next picture. Look at this. There he is. Look at what God did. God did that. God did that. This is what I mean by find your good works. Because when you do, it's like you can't even mess it up. It's like there's a big wave rolling and you just jump and ride the wave. Because God's just pulling all the people in. And see how many people got to be a part of that beautiful story? Joy is communal. And it's a joy when you get to share joy with other people. Find your good work. See what God is up to and follow it. Invite people into it. You know what happens when we do that? When we do good works for other people? It's even physiological. The endorphins in our brains, our body secretes these pleasure hormones that make us light up and feel happy. I mean, God actually designed our bodies to respond when we do things like this. We were made for it. Find your good works. Here's the last one, and I'll close with this one. To get your joy back, worship Jesus. Put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That's Isaiah 26. That hits me. Put on a garment of praise. Some of you are feeling that heaviness right now. And God says, won't you let me give you something new to put on? Put on a garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Sing. Make music to the Lord. Psalm 27:6. My heart leaps for joy. And with my song, I will praise him. That's Psalm 28:7. Worship God out loud in the congregation. Worship him with music. Worship him with your mouth out loud. Sing songs of praise to God. We were made for it. And I'm telling you, it works. When you're in that dark place and you start making music to him, I don't understand how he does it, but he changes things. And before you know it, you're full up. Some of you might be listening this morning that can't get through these steps because you haven't done the very first thing that you need to do to have real joy in your life. You have to invite Jesus Christ into your life, right? Some of you, maybe that's where we should start right now, whether in the house or watching online. I just want to ask you to consider, is God pursuing you? Yes. There is a reason why you're here. There's a reason why you're watching online. He wants to give you his joy. You can't have his joy without having him, right? And there's a difference between knowing about Jesus and knowing him for yourself, like knowing him as your Lord and your Savior. Jesus wants to come into your story right now. When your story is in the hands of the Lord, it's a good story and it's got a happy ending. And so, anyone in the house that hasn't taken that step yet, that just hasn't made a decision, I just need to trust God with my life. I need to do this thing. I want to pray for you. And would you all bow your heads and pray along with me? God, my story has been hard, and I'm tired of trying to do it on my own. And Lord, I need help. I need joy. I need you. I need you. God, would you become my best friend too? Would you come into my life? Would you be my Lord, my Savior? Would you forgive me for my sins? Would you cleanse me? Would you welcome me into your family? I want to know you. I hear other people talking about how they know you. I want to know you like that. I don't know where to start. And so, God, just in my heart, I'm just crying out to you right now and asking you to come in and fill me with your Holy Spirit and make me new. All my hope is in you, Jesus. And I pray it in Jesus' name. If you prayed that prayer, congratulations, the best decision you'll ever make. And if you prayed that prayer in the house or online, reach out to somebody and let them know, so that we can walk with you, so that we can encourage you on the journey of faith. God wants to be the center of your story. Your joy is right there waiting for you. Will you let him? The best is yet to come. God bless you, Bridgeway. Thank you.